Built on the rock, children of the Heavenly Father, on my heart imprint your image, rejoice, rejoice, believers, and so much more. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2021 Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Northern Lights, Danish and Scandinavian Hymns. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
The hymn, O Son of God in Galilee, a hymn written by a 20th century Lutheran hymn writer, Anna B. Hoppe. How is it that this young woman wrote dozens of English language hymns, Lutheran hymns, original hymns, and we don't know of them and we don't know of her? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about 20th century Lutheran hymn writer Anna B. Hoppe, Elizabeth Ertl. She is pursuing a PhD in historical theology from Concordia Seminary, and she's author of the book Anna B. Hoppe, Her Life and Hymnody. Elizabeth, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Why have so few Lutherans heard of Anna Hoppe?
Well, that's a question that I'm still trying to figure out, honestly, but one of the reasons is because her work spans so many Lutheran synods, it's hard to tell which synod ultimately has the work of carrying on her legacy. All the books where her work was published would be now out of print or where they were originally published. She also doesn't have any descendants or surviving relatives, as far as I can tell. And just in general, she was a very humble person who really wanted to let her work as gifts to the church shine without her name necessarily attached to it. So it's something that we're still trying to figure out. But I believe that in her time, she was well known in the Synodical Conference as a hymn writer.
How would you describe Hoppe's contribution to Lutheran hymnody?
Well, she provides us with a uniquely American and also Lutheran expression of the faith in the 20th century. And if we look back on how hymnody is in the Lutheran Church, in each different era, such as the Reformation or the Thirty Years' War, we have different expressions of the same doctrine. And it's important for us to keep seeing these texts from the past, but it's also crucial to keep on confessing the faith anew in song, because that's, of course, how we view this as Lutherans, also confessing the faith through hymnody. So with her writing, we see how this tradition of Lutheran hymnody translates into the 20th century and beyond, and which is unique to her situation. We see how a Lutheran woman, not necessarily a pastor, is able to listen to and apply theology that she would have heard at the church and in her Christian day school, etc. So if we think about Martin Luther or Paul Gerhardt or any of our well-known Lutheran hymn writers, they would have all had a seminary or pastoral training. And this is just based on all things that she learned from just ordinary Lutheran education and weekly church attendance.
You say that Hoppe's hymns are specifically biblical. What do you mean by that?
Well, part of that is based on the fact that her most well-known hymns are the songs of the church here, which she wrote on the Gospel and Epistle text. But in Lutheran hymns, we have something unique where we like to utilize scriptural language. It's not simply based on our feelings or our ideas about God, but we take God's word and we sing it back to him in our hymnody. And Anna likes to do this in all of her hymns. She likes to cite biblical texts sometimes directly. Sometimes she'll even have parenthetical references to biblical passages in the original hymns. She very much uses the language of scripture. And then considering texts that refer to the Old Testament or epistles or other parts of the Bible, it kind of goes along with the way that we read scripture as Lutherans. We read things Christocentrically. So when she's talking about other doctrines or other themes in scripture, she's kind of pointing it back to what Christ did for us on the cross and justification and salvation. So it kind of goes with this understanding that we have of our hymns also kind of reiterating scripture and confessing the faith. And another characteristic that goes with this of Lutheran hymns is that they like to tell the story of salvation. So it's not simply saying, well, we praise God, but it's saying, this is why we praise God, and also talking about everything else that goes with that. So it's not simply, dear Christians, one and all rejoice. Here are 10 verses more that describe what we mean. And her hymns are very much like that, too. They kind of go into detail and describe Christ's work and explain a little bit more about why we are praising God.
What was the state of American Lutheranism in Hoppe's day? You mentioned the Synodical Conference.
Yep. Well, at that time, there was this organization called the Synodical Conference. It was called the Evangelical Lutheran Synodical Conference of North America. And at different stages in its history, it was 1872 to 1967, there are different Lutheran synods that were confessional that were a part of this. And the big ones that pretty much stayed consistent throughout were the Missouri Synod and the Wisconsin Synod. She is a member of the Wisconsin Synod. There were confessional Lutherans who took seriously their subscription to the Book of Concord and had high standards for practice and fellowship. And then at the same time, concurrent with this, the Scandinavian church bodies are going through a bunch of mergers. They have maybe different standards for confessional identity. And they're in the process of consolidation during that time. They're kind of realizing that they can be in fellowship with each other and gradually gathering into one church body, which today would be the ELCA. Another thing that is kind of an issue for all synods is just the issue of how you translate your cultural identity to being both a Lutheran and an American, having, you know, a German or Scandinavian background, etc. There are some people that weren't quite sure how to reconcile this, especially with the language transition during World War I, around the time when Anna was a young woman. People were thinking about how to express that they were Americans as well as Lutherans of German background and everything. Another thing that everybody is wrestling with is the language transition, which goes with this American identity. There are some churches that are starting to include an English language service or publishing an English language hymnal, and then there are other churches that are still wanting to hang on to the German language or the Swedish or Norwegian languages because they feel that they can sing the faith and express the faith better in that language. So it's kind of an issue for everyone about how quickly do we move towards the English language? Are we going to compromise our confessional identity if we do so? Or is there value to hanging on to the German or Scandinavian languages as well? So that is pretty much it. It mostly has to do with confessional identity and how to be both Lutheran and American at the same time.
Give us a brief biography of Anna Hoppe.
Well, she was born May 7th, 1889 in Milwaukee. Both of her parents emigrated from Prussia, more specifically in Pomerania, which is today would be northwestern Poland. And she had three brothers and one sister. And they grew up speaking German in the home. And as was common, they all went to St. John's Day School in Milwaukee, just getting an eighth grade education, which is not kind of as limited as we might think of it today. They learned English there, and Anna says that she started writing patriotic and other verses when she was 12. During that time, they're slowly making the move from German to English. This is the early 1900s. In 1914, when she was 25, the Wells biweekly periodical, the Northwestern Lutheran, starts being published. Before that, they only had German magazines and journals and things. This was their first English publication. And she contributed a poem to that in August 1914 about being saved by grace alone, something very classic and Lutheran. And after that, she began contributing topical poems mostly during this time between 1914 and 1920. And they're reprinted in a few other Lutheran magazines, monthly or biweekly types of papers. Some of them are in the Lutheran Witness, which is still called that today. Some of them are in another publication called the American Lutheran or the Lutheran. And what happens is one of her poems is reprinted in a magazine called The Lutheran, and it's read by an Augustana Synod seminary professor who is working on their hymnal project. So he reads it and he thinks, well, this is, you know, a great expression of American and Lutheran hymnody, and I'm going to write to her and see if she is interested in writing hymns on the church here. So he does at some point between 1919 and 1920, and after that she begins writing a hymn for every single gospel lesson in the church here and every single epistle lesson. The Old Testament lesson wasn't a thing at that time, I guess. And then they're published every 2 weeks in the Northwestern Lutheran. She also works on a dual German and English language hymnal in 1922 called the Selah Songbook. And then what I believe is that the Church Year Project was intended to be part of the Augustana hymnal, which was published in 1925. But it didn't end up exactly making the cut for whatever reason or for needing to be published by a certain time. And Anna finished writing the entire cycle, and the book was published with all of them in 1928. It's called Songs of the Church Year, and that was published by the Augustana Synod, their publishing house called Augustana Book Concern. Then after that, she continued to write, although not as much during the 1930s. She concentrated more on translations and the upcoming Talk of the Hymnal Project, which would be coming out. People started talking about the forthcoming Synodical Conference hymnal already in the late 1920s, and she was involved in contributing resources for that project. So she continued to write. She did not write any more church year hymns as much. It was just more topical things and German translations that were from the old hymnal that weren't yet translated into English. And then she died the same year that the Lutheran hymnal came out. But she did know, I think, the year before her death, someone wrote to her that two of her hymns were going to be included in the hymnal, and they are number 88, This Night a Wondrous Revelation, a Christmas hymn, and number 419, which would be the gospel hymn for Trinity 10, or Jerusalem Thou Weepest. So she would have been about 52 years old, I believe, when she died. Never married, never had children. She worked as a secretary and an office type of job her entire life, and also supported her mom and older sister. So she, aside from being published in so many hymnals, she pretty much kept a low profile, and that might be part of the reason why we haven't heard as much about her as we could be hearing.
We're talking about 20th century Lutheran hymn writer Anna B. Hoppe. Elizabeth Ertle is our guest, author of the book Anna B. Hoppe, Her Life and Hymnody. She'll tell us more about that publication, Songs of the Church Year, next. Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $150 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $150 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We are sustained by the water of life in baptism, the words of life in His Word, the bread of life in His Holy Supper. In the name of Jesus.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Elizabeth Erdl, author of the book Anna B. Hoppe, Her Life in Hymnody, is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. You're linked to Issues Etc. Danish and Scandinavian hymns is the theme for the hymn sing at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Pastor Will Whedon will be leading us in singing and studying hymns like Built on the Rock, Children of the Heavenly Father, Behold the Host Arrayed in White, and many more. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Registration is $150 and includes three meals. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. The 2021 Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th at Concordia University in River Forest, Illinois. Elizabeth, you mentioned before the break this publication, Songs of the Church Year. Tell us more about it.
So Songs of the Church Year is the collection of all of her hymns for the Gospel and Epistle pericopes for the Historic Lectionary. So we're referring here to the one-year lectionary, not the three-year one. There's one traditional Gospel and Epistle lesson for every Sunday in the church year. And this is also part of the larger tradition that we have as Lutherans of having a hymn of the day, a hymn that goes with the sermon text or the Gospel. So each hymn describes what goes on in each of those Gospel or Epistle lessons. And she also, of course, applies it to Christian life today and what it means for us viewing everything through the lens of Christ. And then in addition to those 52 Sundays in the church here, we also have several other topical hymns. There are some German translations mixed in. There's a Swedish translation, which she did not do, but someone kind of asked for her assistance on it. So it's not a musical book really to be sung out of, but it's kind of a collection of poems and the completed cycle that was only partially printed in the Augustana hymnal. It's not in print anymore today, but I did include it as part of my project when I was writing my thesis. And they should be reprinted, of course. They're all really great hymns that I think everyone should read.
So was Songs of the Church Year intended to be an American Lutheran hymnal?
Well, it's a uniquely American Lutheran book, but as I said before, I think that the original intention for all of the hymns were to structure and to help center the Augustana hymnal around the church year. So I believe that she had written the full set for use in a different American Lutheran hymnal, and because they were not all used in the Augustana hymnal in 1925, this professor, Adolf Holt, recommended that she just keep writing them and save them all for her own book. So, like I said, there isn't any musical notation in the book. I think there are recommended tunes for a lot of her hymns, so you can sing them, but I think it's a component of the idea for a larger American Lutheran hymnal, also containing, of course, hymns from our past and hymns of German and Scandinavian origin and American origin and everything else, but this is kind of one necessary component of an American Lutheran hymnal that we should have.
Can you give us some examples of Hoppe's hymns?
Sure. Well, a lot of her hymns by first line would not be super recognizable by people today, but there are a few that we have sung in hymnals past. In the Lutheran hymnal, which is one that probably a lot of people will be familiar with, her hymn, O Jerusalem, Thou Weepest, is pretty commonly known. And then also her Christmas hymn, This Night, A Wondrous Revelation. She has several other texts that have been published recently in choral music. One of them is Precious Child So Sweetly Sleeping, the Christmas text. This Night, A Wondrous Revelation is also a Christmas choral piece. I've actually done this one with my choir. Rise, Arise, which is also called Zion Rise in the Lutheran hymnal, is in Christian worship, the Wells hymnal. The Sower Goes Forth to Sow for Sexagesima is another more commonly known one. Repent for the Kingdom Draws Nigh is another that's been reprinted a lot. But there aren't a whole lot of them in hymnals that were printed today, but there are many in the American Lutheran hymnal, published in 1930 in the Augustana Hymnal and kind of in other American Lutheran hymnals of Scandinavian origin.
What are the major themes in Hoppe's hymns?
Well, she has several themes that I would say are traditional for Lutheran hymns. One of them is explaining the whole salvation story in the hymn. She talks a lot about salvation and justification by faith and being redeemed by Christ's blood and the sinner-saint distinction. She was also involved in mission societies at her church, so she has several hymns to talk about mission work and evangelism. She has a very evocative writing style for her poetry. A lot of her hymns seem to be like a call to action where she's telling people that they should do things as Christians and asking rhetorical questions. So the first verse of one of her hymns goes, "Repent, the kingdom draweth nigh, the herald of the Lord doth cry. Ye sinners lost through Adam's fall, will ye not hearken to the call?" And she continues to ask questions throughout the hymn, sort of like that. And she's very bold, I would say. Another kind of big category that we have in our hymnody are the hymns that are more personal or subjective, as opposed to corporate and we all believe this and everything. And I would say that her hymns are maybe more personal, as if one person is talking and praying and worshiping to God. But they, of course, still do have a place in corporate worship. I would just say that her hymns are very much personal, I think almost reflecting her personal relationship with Christ and what she personally believes. Just a lot of themes, I guess, that we would say are general and Lutheran, talking about salvation, as hymns always do in Lutheranism, or they like to do. Her hymns often end in heaven and point the singer towards eternity and our hope of heaven someday.
You had mentioned some of the hymnals that did feature her hymns. Where would we find Hoppe's hymns today?
Well, of the hymnals that are in print, in Lutheran service book, it would be number 841, I believe, O Son of God in Galilee. And that's another, maybe more well-known of her texts. In Christian worship, the Wells hymnal, it would be number 30, Rise, Arise. And then for churches that still use the Lutheran hymnal, it would be numbers 88 and 419, like I mentioned before. In the hymnal of my synod, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, we don't have any. And then in the ELCA hymnal, I don't think they have any either. Otherwise, the books that I mentioned before where her hymns were printed, or the songs of the church year, and also her hymns from the Northwestern Lutheran, I actually collected into a whole set for my thesis. And if you actually just Google this online, if you look up the Concordia Chicago website and then search for Center for Church Music, you scroll down and click on Research and Discoveries. And then anyone can see that there are two things at the top that say Appendix A and Appendix B. And those are all of the hymns that I've collected of hers. So one of them is Songs of the Church Year, 1928, retyped and re-edited. And then the second one is all of the hymns that were printed in the Northwestern Lutheran from 1914 to 1939. And all of these, as she said herself, are free of copyright restriction. She didn't want any holds or anything getting in the way of people using and reproducing her work for church music. So anyone is free to borrow them or write choral pieces with them or anything. And yeah, I believe that hopefully with some of these texts being out there and more available to people, that they will also be reused more in the future.
Finally, talk about the need for original American Lutheran hymns today.
Well, it's important for us in every stage of history to be able to trace the lineage of our faith through hymnody. And like I said, we sing hymns from the Reformation and from the years after that and from early American Lutheran history. And they all have their own unique flavor. And then our hymns of different origins, you know, different countries in Europe, different places around the world where the Reformation has been, they all have their own unique thing that they bring to hymnody. But it's important for us to also keep bringing that into the present as well as seeing hymns from the past. we also think of hymns as not just being decorations in our service, but as being confessions of faith, proclaiming the word. So it's something that we do as Lutherans to keep confessing the faith in our own language wherever we are. And having that view, I think there's always a need for new confessions of the faith, and there's always something different that we can add to this tradition. If we don't confess our faith through hymnody as Lutherans, we end up kind of falling off this track and going towards other hymns and other types of texts in worship that are maybe not Lutheran or maybe do not express our faith as clearly. So it's important for us to kind of add these texts, and especially keeping in mind the idea of the church here, to keep those things central in our hymnody and in the way we sing about the faith.
Elizabeth Ertl is a PhD student at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, and she's author of the book Anna B. Hoppe, Her Life and Hymnody. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Thank you.
In hour two of Issues Etc., we're going to talk about the new barbarians in the culture war. Dr. Adam Kuntz of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.